considering that we had this, you know, this huge Tea Party movement in 2010, there's been very little talk about actually cutting spending, really, other than Ron Paul, who has some, you know, very big spending cut plans. But as far as the other candidates, we've heard very little about it, other than, oh, Mitt Romney doesn't want a lunar colony. That I'm pretty clear about.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and today we're talking with James Pethakoukas of the American Enterprise Institute. Thank you, Jim, for talking to us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate
you,
it.
You cover economics, government, fiscal policy, things like that. Right now, what is the biggest threat to the American economy and any possible recovery that you're covering?
Well, the thing that worries me is this economy just is not growing very fast. It hasn't grown very fast for really a decade. And if you look in the future, it's not predicted to grow particularly fast. Now, some of those are, there's some, you know, demographic reasons. You have aging of the workforce. You have fewer people going into the workforce. But there just seems to be a real lack of vitality in this economy. And all the deficit problems, they all look a lot worse if the economy is not growing.
So what are the government policies? I'm a big believer, and I suspect you are too, that government can't really, it can't mastermind the economy, but it can get out of the way or set certain frameworks that allow for bigger growth. What are the things the government should be doing, and what has it been doing?
The number one thing the government can do right now is really create a tax system which is pro-growth. Right now we have a tax system which penalizes capital investment, which is very important for creating new innovation, new products, the new companies of the future. So I'd like to see a tax system that didn't penalize capital so much. We have this really high corporate tax rate. I'd like to bring that down dramatically. So, I mean, that's not the only thing. And sometimes I feel like, you know, on my blog, I feel like I'm all running about is let's cut taxes. But I think that's part of it.
What's the spending equation in creating a debt overhang hangover that we're in?
Well, it's amazing that during the Republican nominating process, there's been very, considering that we had this, you know, this huge Tea Party movement in 2010, there's been very little talk about actually cutting spending, really, other than Ron Paul, who has some, you know, very big spending cut plans. But as far as the other candidates, they're talking about, let's say, Paul Ryan's plan, you know, to cut Medicare spending in the future. But as far as like cutting real things right now, we've heard very little about it, other than Mitt Romney doesn't want a lunar colony. That I'm pretty clear about. But everything else, they don't want to talk about it.
Why didn't the stimulus work? And what does that tell us about the current state of macroeconomic theory?
Right. We had some stimulus under Bush. We had some temporary tax cuts. Milton Friedman said that these sorts of temporary tax cuts tend not to work, because people know they're temporary and they don't change, they'll end up saving the money, they won't change their long-term, like, you know, spending or investment or savings patterns if they think the tax cut's going to go away. So the president's stimulus, we had three parts. It had this tax cut part, which was temporary, which no one thought would work.
And was dribbled out.
That was dribbled out very, you know, because that's what this hot new craze, behavioral economics, said they should do. It turns out it really didn't work. And then he also had this huge, you know, infrastructure spending component. It's interesting is that people, they could have gone and asked the Congressional Budget Office what was going to happen, and they would have said, well, guess what, these things tend not to work, it takes very long to get them up and running. So that almost was unexpected. I think what the administration maybe didn't expect was all the regulatory hurdles that these projects would have to go with. So it took them that much longer to get them up and running. So now we're here three years later, and the economy is only growing under 2%.
Over the past couple of years, I mean, there has just been these huge convulsions in, you know, financial markets globally, locally, and whatnot. How has it made you rethink some of your assumptions about, what constitutes good economic policy or good fiscal policy?
It's really made me, you know, wonder, you know, what do I know, what do I don't know? There was so much about that financial crisis where we didn't understand the various linkages. People didn't understand the whole sort of shadow derivatives market, the whole shadow banking market. And I didn't realize there was so much that I didn't know about. And it's really made me, I think, more cautious about advocating this policy or that policy and thinking a lot more about what are the unintended consequences. Let's look at the unintended consequences first before we look at the policy, and really taking more of sort of a do no harm approach to public policy.
We live in an age where economists are on the bestseller list all the time, it seems. Are we becoming more economically literate as a kind of voting population? And if so, is that going to be helpful, or do we have a lot of people who know a little bit and then that's going to gum up the works?
Well, I wish people would know a lot more. I mean, I would like to see more study of economics and personal finance in high school, because even though economists, they disagree on a lot, there generally are some big things they tend to agree on. They still tend to agree on that, that trade is a good right. thing. Prices need to float freely, those kinds of things. Hopefully, if people are more aware of what sound economics is, just sort of the general principles, they can hold the public officials much more accountable and understand what they're doing.
Great. Well, I want to thank Jim Pethakoukas of the American Enterprise Institute for talking with Reason TV. You can check out his blog writing and other articles at American.com.
AEI.org, American.com, you'll find it eventually.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.